Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
From the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report for the 12th day of November. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. And a bit later in the program, Mike Tenora will join us from T-Storm in Chicago, Illinois, to take up what is a really soggy look at the weather forecast for the coming week. We'll also discuss the cash grain market with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds. He is here at the NAFB convention in Kansas City. And then I'll tell you a bit about a really surprising discussion we had with Matt and Arlen Suderman and Mike Zuzulo for Commodity Week. Should be posting that to our website a bit later this afternoon. But let's start with the closing market report right here from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for the CME Group on this Thursday afternoon. The corn pit for the day finished like this. Nearby December contract at $3.62. That was a quarter of a cent lower. The March contract down a half at $3.69.5. The May down a half at $3.75.5. July corn at $3.81, down a quarter. Next year's December up a half at $3.91.75. November soybeans 3/4 higher at $8.69.25. January at $8.63, up 2.25. The March at $8.64, 3.5 higher. And the November of next year at $8.74.75, up 4.5 cents. Bean meal down $2.60 at $2.91.40. The bean oil at $27.44. That's up 26 cents. Wheat futures December contract $4.98, up 3.25. July at $5.04.25, up 2.5. And the hard red July, that finished at $4.98, a penny and a quarter lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago, nearby December at $133.25, up $1.70. The February up $1.70 as well at $135.25. And feeder cattle finished the November at $175.75, 90 cents higher for 100 pounds. The lean hogs in December contract finished at $56.27.5. That was up a dime for the day. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. Stay with us when we come back. We'll talk a bit about the marketplace. That with Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
A quick look at the outside markets for this hour. December contract in the crude oil at $47.74. That's $1.19 lower. The ethanol futures at $1.48.7, down 0.6 cents. Gasoline off 5.4. That's $1.27.4 on the wholesale price. The RBOB. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.40.7, 4 cents lower. And natural gas on the day at $2.27.5. That's up a penny and 0.2 cents. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,449, down 206 points. The U.S. dollar at 98.73. That's down 0.423. And gold futures for the afternoon at $1,081.75, down $3.15. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area tonight. Mostly clear, a low of 35 degrees. It'll be breezy out there with a west wind at 18 to 21 miles an hour, gusting to 31. And then tomorrow, sunny skies and 48. Again, breezy with a west-northwest wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusting to 33. Friday night, clear, and a low of 28, west winds at 6 to 11. Saturday, sunny skies, a high of 55, south-southwest winds at 6 to 13, gusting to 17 miles an hour. Saturday night, clear and 38. Sunny on Sunday and 59. A chance of showers on Monday, cloudy and 54. And Tuesday, showers are likely. A thunderstorm or two. And we'll go to a high of Tuesday, 60 degrees, although it will be breezy out there on Tuesday afternoon.
agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Well, this is the closing market report for the 12th day of November 2015. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you today from Kansas City, Missouri, at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. On the line is Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting. He's out of Waco, Texas. Hey, Dan, how are you this afternoon?
Doing just fine. Beautiful day down here.
Oh, excellent. I have not been outside, have no idea what it looks like outside, but it's been a really busy day here in Kansas City on this particular day. The farm broadcasters and all those folks that are involved in agriculture have a joint discussion. And when I say a joint discussion, there are about 140 or 160 broadcasters here, probably close to 400 or 500 folks that are in the allied industries, and we do lots of interviews all day long on all kinds of different subjects. So if you're in any area of the nation, you probably will be able to hear your local farm broadcaster, and many of them are in the state of Illinois, some in the state of Indiana as well, that will have conversations with the likes of Granular, who, in fact, you'll hear up just a bit later on our program. So let's talk more, Dan, about the subject at hand for you and I this afternoon. That, of course, is what happens in the marketplace. It seems to me that this week's, after Tuesday's downturn, has been pretty good, at least for the bottoming action, if I can call it that, or stability action, if I can call it that, for both the corn and soybeans. How did you view the market for the day?
Well, I agree with you that it's stabilizing, but stabilizing doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make a turn to the upside. It could just stabilize and then move on lower. The trend is clearly to the downside. One thing that we may have going for us, but it's still a couple weeks away yet, year in and year out, if you watch the markets around the first part of December, a lot of times the upward seasonal lift will begin, and then a lot of times that takes us higher through December and on into January, and then that continues on into the growing season. So this is probably a time to watch here, but it usually begins around the first part of December. The problem that we have this year is there's really no good storyline underneath the market to give it the horsepower to really rally. I mean, the USDA's crop report ensured the market of a very adequate supply of corn and soybeans. We have the dollar in an uptrend, even though today's action is a little bit on the defensive, and maybe the dollar's getting ready for a little break. But adequate supplies of inventory, not only here in the United States, around the world. China's economy has slowed dramatically compared to their buying habits that the market got used to between 05 and 2010 or so, 2013. Just about everything you look at, it kind of looks like markets, commodity markets, and currency markets are kind of a race to the bottom.
Well, how much further to the bottom? And I'll give you a minute to pull that off.
Well, I don't know where the bottom is, except that we're on the flip side of where we were 7-8 years ago. 7-8 years ago, when we were in an expanding, when China was accumulating commodities, building reserves, commodity prices went sharply higher. And of course, we had the Renewable Fuels Act that kicked in here in the United States, and then that sent corn demand for corn all the more. And then we got ourselves into a drought, which probably took prices way beyond what they should have been. And that, but that then encouraged more acres to come into production, not only here in the United States, but around the world. Mm-hmm. So now we've got our situation into an oversupply situation. So the function of the market is to take prices to the point to stop production, to take those acres that were put into production out of production, and who knows what price level that's going to be at. But that is not an easy situation to happen.
We'll explore more of that in the future. Hey, Dan, thanks so much for taking the time with us this afternoon and, of course, this morning.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting. He is out of Waco, Texas, joining us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can hear I'm here, of course, at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. Stay with us for the whole of the afternoon. Lots of great stuff coming up right here on the CMR. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Be sure to pick up your Farm Assets tickets right now at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. They're just $30. Of course, you can make the phone call to 800-898-1065. Tamara Toshchin was at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention today. She's with Granular, and yesterday Granular opened a brand new facility in Research Park just to the south of the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. There is a free portion of what this agricultural program produces. It's called Acre Value. She manages it, and I asked her a little bit about her job and, of course, about Granular and Acre Value.
So I'm the general manager of Acre Value, which is a product offered by Granular. It's used by farmers, landowners, investors, appraisers, really anyone in the industry to understand the value and the productive capacity of farmland. In shorthand, you can think of it as the Zillow for farmland, and perhaps the most unique feature about our site is our automated valuation model, which is similar to the valuations you see on Zillow around the estimated price of your home. We take all the public data around farmland, compute it in a model, and estimate the value of a piece of farmland. This model was originally developed by a data scientist at Granular out of Stanford, whose family owned some farmland in Iowa. And they were sort of sitting around the table trying to decide whether it was the right time to sell it. And they couldn't come to a conclusion because they didn't know what they could sell it for. And they tried to do some research to see what farmland values were in that area. They couldn't find any sources of information. So this data scientist, he developed a model. And so that's now what we publish on our site in three states, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. Across the U.S., however, you can access critical data about farmland, most importantly, soil maps. So you can see the distribution of different soil types across a field. You can also see the distribution of the expected productivity of those soils across a field. So PI in Illinois, CSR2 in Iowa, and then NCCPI is what we use in the other states. You can also see a history of the crops grown on that field, the crop mix over time.
If I wanted to, for instance, find a particular soil type and have you show it to me, let's say, Ipava, can you do that?
You cannot run queries around soil types, no. You can only select a particular piece of farmland that you're interested in and get data about that piece of farmland.
Where does all the data come from?
Sure, so the soil data comes from the NRCS. The crop history data comes from NAS. And then we bring in a lot of other different data sources that feed our model across weather, climate, field shape and size. We look at average yields in the area, average rent prices, average values that are survey-based from the USDA. We look at livestock demand, a lot of terabytes and terabytes of data from all these different sources.
All available for free? Why?
The data is available for free, or Acre Value?
Acre Value
is available. So the history of Acre Value, I mentioned where the model came from, but really we decided to invest more in this tool because, you know, the customers that use Granular, our farm management software, are really expansion oriented, and top of mind for them is how do I get more ground and at the right price. And so, you know, wanting to provide so the end-to-end management tools to allow them to make those decisions, we thought this data would be really useful to them, and thought while we're at it, why don't we make it available to the industry overall? It would benefit the industry to have a single site like a Zillow where you can go to get kind of all the public data on farmland. Now we will be continuing to build out our tools within our farm management software, quote-unquote power user tools around acre value, where you could envision going in and saying, okay, if I was to rent versus buy this new piece of ground, how would it affect my profitability? Or I'm thinking about buying these, you know, three new parcels of farmland, how that affect my overall efficiency? Do I have enough capacity to farm those fields? How would this affect my overall profitability of my business? So that's really where sort of the paid component of this farmland analysis focus we have is going to come in.
So the free is Zillow sorts of things where you can go in and say, there's an 80 here, I just want to know what it might be worth because I'm thinking about it. But if you're a granular user, it's hooked into the back end and the farm management side, and it will say, well, that's 25 miles from where you live. That is not going to work in your unless you're really big and you're already transitioning from one place to another. So it takes all those sorts of things and puts them into the back end granular tool and makes it really part of the farm management system and a way to help producers manage their growth.
Exactly. You can think of acre value as providing a market price for farmland, and our farm management software allows we can calculate what is it worth to you, to your specific operation.
What's the web address for Acre Value?
AcreValue.com.
Tamar Toshjian is with Granular. Acre Value is one of their free products. Of course, Granular is a farm management tool. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. It's one of the big data products. In fact, we'll be taking up big data at the Farm Assets Conference that comes up later this month. If you'd like to discuss those and learn more about Acre Value, you can visit their website. You can learn more about big data at the Farm Assets Conference, 800-898-1065. Tickets are just $30 Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. Get your tickets right now today. We're going to swap things out just a little bit. We'll wait until the very end of the program to talk to Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds today. He's from Windsor, Illinois, but here in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Mike Tenora is here. We'll talk with him in just a moment. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Picked up those tickets yet? Hope so. If not, right now's a great time to do it. At the Farm Assets Conference, you'll learn all kinds of things, including about water quality issues as it relates to anhydrous ammonia and nitrogen application in the fall in particular. We'll talk about big data, how it's used on the farm, how it will be used on the farm, and frankly, who it belongs to and how to protect some of it. We'll also take up, of course, the price of corn and soybeans, and we'll discuss input costs for next year and crop productions. It all happens at the Farm Assets Conference the end of this month, the 24th day of November. Tickets available right now, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065 or farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. Now let's take a look at the weather forecast. Looks like it's going to be rainy next week and not a little rain. Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. How much rainfall can we expect? Where will it be? And is it all driven by El Nino?
Well, it certainly seems to be a classic El Nino type of weather pattern. We know we've been talking about this a lot with you over the last couple of months, and we know it might seem like a broken record, but the reason we've been talking about it is because of what comes up next week. We see our first classic type of storm system that we would expect in a strong El Nino, and keep in mind we are in a strong El Nino at the moment. A large storm system crashes into California, produces a little bit of rain for them, but it's still a little too early in the season for them to see a lot in the way of rainfall. They don't have quite the right setup this early in the year, but by the time that storm system makes it into the central U.S., we will see a very classic setup for heavy rain. It's a slow-moving system. It's large. It will tap Gulf of Mexico humidity, and that's tropical air, mind you. It'll pull that right into the central U.S., and by the time you put all this together, we're looking for a major rainfall event across a big chunk of the Corn Belt over the next 5 to 7 days. All of this begins around Monday, somewhere between Kansas and Texas, then expands to the north and east over the course of 3 to 4 days next week. Now, we could see widespread rainfall in the range of 2 to 4 inches. That seems like a lot, and we think that might be a lot, but so we'd be a little more comfortable just forecasting widespread rainfall of 1 to 2 inches, let's say, for most of the winter wheat belt in both the Plains and the Corn Belt, with locally higher amounts, most likely from Texas into the Delta. Now, keep in mind, some of these areas of Texas and into the Delta did see heavy rainfall earlier a few weeks ago. So if we add another big rain event on top of that, this is how you start to get into a situation where you could start to develop some field flooding. If that were to occur, it would most likely occur from eastern Texas, again, into parts of the Delta, including a little bit of hard red winter wheat and a little bit of soft red winter wheat. But most of that crop, or each crop, is grown further to the north. So we're not looking for a direct strike, but this is something to watch. And we think that this system coming in will be very similar to systems we'll see next month and in January and February before we finally get out of it next spring.
Turn your attention to South America. Is El Nino having an impact continuing there?
It certainly is. We're starting to see rainfall departures turn far above normal. That's all taken place over the last 3 weeks. And we do have a stormy pattern that's beginning once again right now. And it looks like that pattern is going to continue for 10 to 14 days. So rain is going to be a very common theme in South America and, as we already discussed, in the U.S. too.
Can you take that up in a bit more depth for their growing season, please?
Well, it certainly could. I mean, basically what's been happening is that we have a large upper-level high across northern Brazil that's been forcing the storm track to remain anchored over the same area. And that includes some of these key areas of Argentina, southern Brazil, and Paraguay. Now, all of these areas to date have seen pretty much near normal rainfall over the last 3 weeks or so. So not a real big deal, but keep in mind they are trying to plant. As we move forward, we'll keep seeing rain chances materialize every 3 to 5 days, and most likely verify every 3 to 5 days. This isn't a real bad situation for them. But it's not a real good one either. And the reason we say that is because we know that we like to see dry and mild weather during planting season, then followed by big rains. At this point, we're seeing a lot of rain early, so we don't really need this much as we have seen and as we're going to see going forward.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great day.
That, of course, is Mike Tenora. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. Remember to get your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference, farmassetsconference.com, or 800-898-1065. Call today. Price is just $30.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Pizza with the Works, except Anchovies Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1908, William Keith Brooks died, an influential zoologist. He was a champion for the conservation of the Chesapeake Bay oyster. In 1926, Jack Ryan was born. Before helping to develop the Barbie doll for Mattel, Ryan worked for the Pentagon designing missiles. Ryan invented articulated joints for Barbie, and he was also responsible for the pull string that made Mattel dolls talk. And yes, there is a farm girl Barbie, complete with denim overall shorts and a pink label John Deere t-shirt. A trucker cap and emblem belt buckle completes the ensemble. In 1936, the first U.S. gardening show debuted on TV. In 1954, Ellis Island stopped serving as the chief immigration station for the United States. 20 million immigrants went through Ellis Island in its 62 years of operation. And in 1956, ice cubes, anyone? The largest iceberg was reported in the South Pacific. It was 208 miles long by 60 miles wide. That's the size of Belgium. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 12th day of November. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, is here to take up the cash grain market. Matt, give me your quick assessment of the Tuesday USDA World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimates and the Crop Production Report.
Well, I think if you were looking for bullish information to come out of that report, then you're probably still looking for it because it wasn't a very good report. There's no question that it threw a lot of... If anyone was trying to build any bullish fire, it threw water on top of that pretty directly. But, you know, I think the one thing that I would probably take a little bit of issue with is the corn use for ethanol. Last week was the first week since the start of the marketing year that we actually outpaced what we need to be able to meet the USDA goal, and then the USDA takes 75 million out. We saw again today that we're actually 3 million bushel ahead of pace. So, to me, I think that that's something that maybe will be adjusted in the future. But bottom line, 200 million more bushels is a pretty big amount to inject back into the carryout.
Futures for both corn and soybeans are very low at this time, though I think you actually were pretty impressed with the ability of both of those markets to sustain the changes that USDA imposed on them.
Yes, no doubt about it. I think that it could have been much worse than what we've seen so far this week, and I think we probably need to feel blessed that it didn't get hurt maybe more than what it did, because by all means, when the numbers came out, you could have made a case for significantly lower markets than what we've seen.
In the eastern corn belt, our part of the world in particular, as you go further to the east, there are places that simply do not have corn and soybeans. They're deficit areas. I'm talking about them in particular. It seems to be that basis is going to have to do all of the work and that futures will not be involved very much in the process of prying the commodities out of farmers' hands.
Yeah, I think that basis has done a lot of work already. By all means, I think if futures prices would continue to erode, you might see a little bit more basis appreciation. But the market fully well knows that there's going to have to be some bushels come to town here before too awful long, especially coming up on the end of the year. In Jan. 1, we all have bills to pay. There's no question about it. So I think at that point, you probably could expect basis appreciation won't continue.
Matt, thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. He was also one of the guests right here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri for our Commodity Week program. I recorded that earlier in the day. Matt, along with Mike Zuzel of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas, and Arlen Suderman, who's now with FCC. Stone from Kansas City. We're in the house, and we'll post that up to the website. We talk about structural change, real structural change happening in the agricultural market and distribution system as it relates to the United States. I urge you to check it out. It's all at willag.org, online tonight, on our website throughout the weekend, and of course you can pick it up on the air on many of these radio stations tomorrow, immediately following the Closing Market Report. In fact, tomorrow in just a few minutes at at about this same time right here on our home station and many of the other stations. Then again, over on the weekend. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's happened in the world of agriculture. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.